This is The Source on Texas Public Radio 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Public transportation is supposed to be just that. All of the public, including folks who are dealing with disabilities. But we've heard in the past on The Source that transportation is a major issue for folks in the disabled community. It prevents some from getting employment, having a social life, going to school, or getting to the doctor. So we're going to take a deep look at transportation for those with disabilities today. What have you experienced? How can we find solutions to make things work better? How can you help if you're not in part of the disabled community? What can you do to help those who might just need a little consideration for them to get around? Call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet us at @tprsource. We're joined this afternoon by Melanie Colton. She is the Executive Director for Disability SA. Also with us, Jeffrey Arndt. He is the CEO of Via Metropolitan Transit. Jane Passoni is with us, President and CEO of the Southwest Outreach for Older People SWOOP and a local disability advocate. And Chase Bearden is the Director of Advocacy and Community Organizing for the Coalition of Texans with Disabilities. Welcome to The Source, all of y'all. It's great to have you here.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
So, Jane, let me ask you, first off, with SWOOP, what is the perspective? What's the state of transportation for folks in San Antonio who are dealing with disabilities?
Disabilities, it's a challenge. I think the solution to the transportation issue is more like buckshot, not a silver bullet. We at SWOOP deal with seniors and people with disabilities 60 years and over, and we have a waiting list of 50 people.
What are they waiting for?
Waiting for transportation, for volunteer transportation. We're a volunteer-oriented organization.
And Melanie, what do you see at Disability San Antonio?
So we see a struggle for enough transportation and transportation to enough areas of our town. Various options for transportation because it is the hinge pin for independent living. It impacts employment, it impacts socialization opportunities, it impacts education, it impacts all the areas of life. And without good, solid transportation options, people are limited in how they're able to interact in our community and limited to how successful they can be.
So Chase Bearden at the Texans with Disabilities, Coalition of Texans with Disabilities, what's the view from, I guess you have a statewide view about these issues?
Yeah, David, we do. Most of the time, it's the exact same thing we're hearing in San Antonio. All the big cities, rural areas, lack of access, and not just having one option. Sometimes we get the feeling that if we can provide one way for people to get around, that will be enough. And really, it's just like everyone else. There's times when you need to be able to grab a cab, an Uber, a Lyft, or hop on the bus. If there's only a few options and those options don't get you where you need to go, it is. It's hard to have that independent life, be able to support yourself, your family. And for many, you know, when you think about the disability community, that's not me. I don't have a disability. But that's something that happens to all of us at some point in our lives. We're touched by it. Many of us, it can be from an accident to just aging, and it touches all of us. And transportation for our community is one of the top things we hear about here.
So transportation is a major obstacle for many folks who are dealing with issues like this. It can be mobility issues or other types of issues that may make someone be considered to have a disability. And so if they could figure their way around this, then the whole world opens up to them. Is that right, Chase?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like anyone that remembers being 16 and getting their driver's license and that independence you got when you were able to hop on, get in your vehicle, and go where you needed to go to take care of yourself. That's kind of that threshold in our lives where we start becoming more independent. And if you want to go to school, have a career later in life, support yourself, you got to have access. You got to be able to get in the community, to go do the things you need to do, to go to meetings, to go to doctor's appointments. to go to your kids' school. That access is so important, and it's not always someone having their own vehicle.
Jeffrey Arndt, CEO of Via Metropolitan Transit. Talk about how you see your mission and what y'all do and the services y'all provide.
So I think our mission, I always say it, we are people helping people make vital connections in their life. And so the vital connections, as already have been stated, to your work, to school, to training, to social events, etc. And many of our customers, both in the bus and on Via Trans, have limited transportation options. In some cases, it's because a person has a disability. In other cases, it's because they don't have the financial resources and can't afford to have the car that lets them do whatever. So that's, from my perspective, what VIA primarily does, especially today, is to try to meet the needs of people that need to be able to get around and don't have the availability of some other resources.
And you provide that. I know the buses have lifts and they have trained drivers who provide assistance. The kneeling bus will help people who may have trouble climbing into the bus. I know that the Primo also has plenty of services that goes up and down Fredericksburg, and y'all are expanding that.
Right.
And then you also have, but Via Trans, that's the thing people think mostly about. How does Via Trans, what service does that provide?
Let me start with the fixed route bus, and then I'll come back to Via Trans. So the fixed route bus is they are now fully accessible with the passing of ADA in 1990. Now the fleets have completely turned over. I was in paratransit operations back in 1985, so I've seen a big evolution starting in 90 with ADA.
So that means a ramp will come down for someone?
So
and it's wide enough for a person
correct.
In a chair to get through?
Correct. And then, we can kneel the bus, makes it easier either to change the degree of tilt of that ramp or to allow people that just have mobility limitations, makes it easier for them to get on the bus. So we have a large number of people. If you are Via Trans eligible, you ride the fixed route bus system for free because we try to encourage people to use the fixed route bus system when they can. It provides spontaneous opportunity. So that's a big piece of our pie. But the second piece is Via Trans, which is technically called ADA paratransit, and it is a safety net, as the ADA describes, for people that cannot make use of the fixed route system. That reason may be cognitive disabilities, number of disabilities that may make it difficult for someone to ride a fixed route bus. And so this system is complementary to the bus system.
And so, but there are people who want to get places that are not on a bus route, and they can use that?
So if you are not within 3/4 mile of a bus route, then we do not offer Via Trans because, as I said, it is a safety net for people who cannot make use of the fixed route bus system. So by definition, Via Trans serves only those areas which are within 3/4 miles of a fixed route bus.
How much does it cost to use?
So Via Trans is a $2 fare. We also offer a second service. So we were talking about options before. So we've just recently introduced a subsidized taxi service. And the purpose of the subsidized taxi service is to allow people to make those spontaneous trips.
Okay. We're going to talk more about that when we come back from the break. We're getting some phone calls also. We'll get them on the air. And if you want to join our conversation, we want to hear what you've experienced out in the world dealing with transportation issues, particularly if you are part of our disabled community. We want to hear what you're experiencing. We want to hear solutions as well. What can we do to make things better, to work better in San Antonio for everyone? Call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about transportation. This is part of a disability series that we've been having here on The Source this year, and this has been a topic that's come up time and time again, and today we've taken a special look at this. We want to hear what you've experienced, 210-614-8980, and Adrian is called in. Adrian, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. Longtime listener, big fan.
Thank you.
I just wanted to point out that as far as I'm aware, that Uber actually, it's supposed to be a public service considering that everybody nowadays has a phone and has access to it. Uber doesn't actually require you to go and pick up people that are disabled in a sense of a wheelchair or something else, because the vehicles that are required to use for Uber are all four-door sedans kind of deal, They're all small vehicles. And half the time that, like, for example, last week, probably, I think within the last 2 weeks, that they just said we have to agree to go and pick up service animal users. And even then, though, that there's no policy, as far as I'm aware, about Uber requiring you to go and accept a ride from somebody who has a wheelchair, just because a majority of the vehicles aren't equipped to deal with it.
All right. Thank you for that great call, Adrian. Chase Bearden, the Director of Advocacy and Community Organizing for the Coalition of Texans with Disabilities. What can you tell us about what Uber is required to do, or other ride-hailing agencies?
Yeah, so I think that is something we got to remember, is that it's not just Uber and Lyft in this state. There are multiple ride-hailing companies out there. And something that was being looked at as the legislature went through was trying to pull all of those into one area of licensing. And HB 100 that Representative Patty put forward, along with multiple other bills had been put out there, didn't address accessibility very much. They pretty much were just trying to license them under one agency. Representative Simmons fought to add some more language in there, but under the current bill and the rules that just went through, they now have to pick up anybody with a service dog and cannot refuse them someone with a disability. When it comes to wheelchair accessible vehicles, they are starting a pilot program where each of the ride-hailing companies will have to submit a report and basically show how they're going to do that in one of the four biggest areas that they're working out of. And it's a two-year pilot, and it's to give them time to create flexibility to figure out what are the best ways that they can offer accessible rides. And there is a very specific section in there about wheelchair-accessible vehicles. So I think over the next few months and working with TDLR, it's going to be nailing down exactly what that means. And then kind of, I think, the disability community talking with many of these companies and saying, here's what's going to work best, here's what's out there, here's how we can work together. Because I think something that's happened in the past is just having these set rules that we don't ever expand from. We just meet the minimum of that rule. And I think the goal ought to be for all of us to kind of help expand that and open up as many areas as we can.
Melanie, Executive Director of Disability San Antonio, I mean, there are all sorts of, I go to the Uber website, read about what they put on there about serving a disabled community, and a lot of promises, but is that really what's happening in the real life? Because when I take Uber, I don't see many vehicles that are equipped to deal with folks who have a wheelchair or any other special needs.
So the ride-hailing companies are not all that accessible. No, you're not going to see that many. I know that Uber's working on Uber Wave, and I know it's being piloted somewhere, but it's not here yet. But also, we have to look at the degree of people who have a disability who are living in poverty or who are unemployed, and we have to look at economical options. So while bringing those vehicles to a place where they are accessible is one step forward, we still have to look at the economic possibilities of who can afford to use those.
Right. So let's go back over to Jeffrey Arndt at Via Metropolitan Transit. And you were talking about this before you went to break, how you are trying to provide vouchers or something to.
Yeah, we provide essentially a taxi trip where the passenger pays the $2.
When you say taxi, is that a literal taxi?
Or literal taxi, yellow
cab.
So that's
cab. The yellow cab.
Yellow cab. The
and all those cabs are able to deal with wheelchairs?
Not all of them. Increasing numbers. And I think that yellow cab is increasingly committed to higher numbers. But I'll just tell you that within the ViaTrans community, only a third, or about 30% of ViaTrans customers are in wheelchairs. So there's a big piece of that market that can use the cab if it doesn't have a wheelchair. But when the person requests the trip, obviously they find out whether they need a wheelchair and dispatch the proper vehicle.
So we're talking about people who are, for some reason, they have a disability, a condition, mm-hmm. which prevents them from operating a motor vehicle. And so, Melanie, it's not just people who are, I mean, there's what are people who are sight impaired, hearing impaired, or what is
visually impaired, hearing impaired,
Have seizure conditions.
Seizure conditions.
Cognitive,
intellectual and developmental disabilities. So there are a wide variety. Sometimes anxiety disorders would prevent you from getting on the road. Even people who in this, you know, even people who've recently had surgery. There's so many things. We talk about those, you know, temporarily abled or temporarily disabled. There's so many things that could prevent you from utilizing your own vehicle. But we need to find solutions for the, I mean, one out of every seven people in San Antonio has some type of disability. There's not to say that all of those prevent you from driving. We can adapt vehicles with hand controls for, you know, people who have a physical disability. So there are a multitude of different opportunities and options. It's making them accessible. It's making them affordable. And it's making sure that people are aware that they exist as well.
But Jane Passione, she's mm-hmm. the president and CEO of Southwest Outreach for Older People, SWOOP. You're in a chair, but you're also able to drive because you have a car that's adapted. But then when you get to the location, what happens?
No parking. No accessible parking. That's,
but they
that's
have,
a challenge.
They have spots for you?
Yeah, they have spots, and they're taken up by people who park and run in, literally run in. So that's also a challenge.
So we have non-disabled people using those special spots.
Yes, they may have the blue placard or the red placard if it's temporary, but they actually get out and walk or, as I've witnessed before, run into a store. And because there's only one parking space per 25 regular parking spaces, that's what the law says, you know, it's limited parking. As our population ages, we're going to have more and more people with the blue placards and the same amount of spaces that we've had for years. So the challenge is, when you can drive your car, can you park? And then if you're in a, there are also spots that are for lifts. So, vehicles that have lifts.
So explain to me the hardship that it's on you or anyone else like that who has to deal with that situation. You're able to drive a vehicle, mm-hmm. except you can't use that spot. So park someplace else.
Right. I park somewhere else. And then when I come back to my car, that's if I can wrestle my wheelchair out of the driver's
door.
So
you need a widened parking right. space.
And many times I've just, for purposes, I've just had to park. So I park, get out, hoping no one parks next to me or that person will give a little bit of room. And often I come back and there's no way I can get in my car to pull it out because there's no room. It's a big challenge for those people with disabilities that are actually driving their own vehicles.
So one thing we can do right now is, at least with our listeners, raise awareness mm-hmm. to respect those parking spaces and give them space so that folks right. who are in chairs, who are driving, who are trying to take advantage of the technology, are able to get in and out of their vehicles.
Yeah, and remember, it's an issue for safety. If I have to park way at the back of the parking lot, I'm wheeling at a lower level. You won't be able to see me. Even though we have the reverse cameras on many cars these days, it's very, even people walking, it can sometimes be a challenge at a parking lot with a lot of cars and a lot of distractions going on.
Right. People need to slow down in those parking lots.
They do.
Okay. And so let me get another caller. This is Joey. And Joey, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Joey. Hey, Joey. Go ahead.
Yeah, my concern is that Viatrans, if you call Viatrans to make an appointment, they use a computer, and so the computer determines what time they pick you up, what time they drop, and sometimes you either get there real early or kind of late, and if your appointment gets over or ahead of time, let's say that your appointment's over at 2:30, and they say, well, you have a return time, it's 4 o'clock. You have to wait all that long time. And the bus system, the thing is that the holiday schedules, that they don't run late on Saturdays or Sundays or at night. So if you're disabled and you have to play Cinderella, if you're not at that bus stop at 10:38, it doesn't matter how late the festivity is, You don't have a ride home.
All right, you're jilted by the bus. All right, Joey, thank you for the call. So The scheduling of ViaTrans, how do y'all do that? Jeffrey Arndt.
So right now, the scheduling of ViaTrans is handled in one of two ways. Either you call a number or you use a telephone, yeah, because people can set up.
Like a smartphone.
Yes. Well, no, you can use a smartphone, but any telephone. You can even use a dumb phone, if you will, to make those phone calls. We're about to introduce, probably in January, an app in which people can make their trip reservations on the app. ViaTrans is a shared ride service, much the same as a bus is a shared ride service. Just to frame up, we carry 1.1 million people a year. And so, yes, we definitely use a system to help us arrange those trips. I would say with respect to being ready early from a doctor's appointment, you can call dispatcher and they will try to send a vehicle early or they'll send a cab early. Or you can, when you book your trip, you can say, I want to have a will call return trip. In other words, I don't want to pre-book my return trip because it's an uncertain time. And so we can accommodate that as well.
So you try to allow flexibility in how the ViaTrans works because that's how people's lives are, unpredictable.
Right. And so is the traffic. And so, like, I'll say we have 1.1 million passenger trips. And so if 99% of them went fine, you would still have, what, 11,000 incidents throughout a year of something that didn't go well, right? So you can imagine in the streets of San Antonio how many times a vehicle can get snarled in traffic, in an accident, a passenger who's not ready. And we try to accommodate that as best we can. And so there's lots of opportunity for things to happen, but we're really happy that we're able to serve 1.1 million trips a year.
And the caller also asked about holiday schedules and how that,
sure.
How does it impact the service?
So holiday schedules impacts all service. It impacts everybody in the system in that on holidays, we don't necessarily operate every route, nor do we operate the same hours of service during the weekday because our demand is less. So I understand that if you have a later trip and the bus isn't there, but that goes back to that bigger issue of the funding of VIA and our ability to spread service across the entire service area throughout that vast region and throughout the hours of the day.
All right. So we're talking about transportation in San Antonio with a special focus on how what options are available for folks in our disability community. We've been hearing a lot of different voices, and we certainly would like to hear from more. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. Jeffrey, real quick before we go to break, you sure. had mentioned earlier about people qualifying for vouchers for a taxi. How do they qualify for that?
They just need to qualify for ViaTrans, and once you're qualified for ViaTrans, you're automatically qualified for the taxi program.
And so they just would just follow up on the phone line, or how does that work?
Sure, you go on the website, and there's an application on the website, and send the application in.
And then what do you receive in exchange? How do you present that to the cab driver? You just let them know, or what?
The cab driver has a list of all the qualified ViaTrans customers, so they can cross-check when there's a request for a ViaTrans service.
Okay, all right. So that was a question that we had got via email. I wanted to follow up on that before we went to break. Again, our phone number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We really want to hear from the community. I want to get back to the parking lot situation that we heard earlier because I think this is something that we could probably crowdsource and really make aware. We're talking about to our friends and family about how important it is that we respect these spots. And this is something that we can definitely do among ourselves. We don't need to pass a law. We don't need to do anything major. It's just really common sense and common courtesy that we need to extend to our friends and families here across San Antonio. The Source continues after this break. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about disability in San Antonio in regards to transportation. What can we do? By just talking, making people aware. How can we find solutions? How can we talk about the options that are available here in San Antonio? We invite you to call in. What are your experiences? Numbers 210-614-8980. We had an email question that said, why should accessibility for ride-sharing companies be required? Because they are, after all, they're private companies. So let me ask that to Chase Bearden, who's with the Coalition of Texans with Disabilities.
Under the ADA, all private companies have to have accessibility, part of the Civil Rights Act. But in this situation, you know, it's just like any public building, or, you know, HEBs or any kind of store. You got to have accessibility. I think it's something that got overlooked as we were they were designing this system, and now that we're kind of working on it, there is a big area for them to be able to make good profits over time. This is a large growing group. A third of the U.S. population has some kind of disability. We're an aging society, and this is something that we need to look at to ensure we have accessibility. Because like I said earlier, this can happen to you or a family member at any time in your life. And ensuring that we have some kind of accessibility should fall on any of these businesses.
So the thinking is if you're offering services to the public, then you have to take the public as it is. And we have protected classes, and you're not allowed to discriminate along those lines. The same reason why you can't say, I'm not going to take this nationality or racial individual. You know, you have to take people or else, you know, that's discrimination, and that's against the law.
Exactly.
And so the ADA is important here because we're talking about ADA compliance. And so, and I know, Jeffrey, since you are providing a bus service funded by the public in many ways, mm-hmm. you have to, really pay attention to the ADA, right?
Absolutely. And that the whole ViaTrans system is designed to at least meet the requirements of ADA. As I said, we have the taxi program, for example, that I described earlier, is not required under the ADA. So we have gone above and beyond the ADA to the extent that we've been able to find external funding to help support that.
Let's go to the phone lines with Chuck. And Chuck, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Okay. I use ViaTrans transportation, and I'm in a power chair. And when I go on the van, I'm usually in the back, the last spot in the back. And the ride is a very, very violent ride. You feel every little bump. It's very, very hard to ride that ViaTrans. It's like almost like they have no shocks on the van.
So it's like a milk truck ride there, Chuck. You just feel every
feel everything. I was talking to a few of the drivers, and they said that they're supposed to be getting 4 brand new vans.
Okay, let's talk to Jeffrey about that. So that's something to consider. And so mm-hmm. what's happening with the quality of the vans there, Jeffrey? Aren't VS?
So I'll speak to the brand new vans. We are actually getting 15 brand new vans, which is a reflection of the fact that, as we've said here before, as we said here at this very time, we see expansion in the use of the system, both in the use of persons that are qualified for ViaTrans that use the bus system. So we're seeing expansion there, plus in the use of ViaTrans. So in order to meet that increased demand, we're buying 15 new vans. We are also using Yellow Cab as an overflow service now. So I talked to you earlier that you can book a trip same day, you know, on a taxi cab. But if we find that for whatever reason we have a passenger that's ready early or something like that, that we are now going to start sending taxi cabs to help accommodate that so we can be more responsive. Like I said, we'll have the new app. One of the features of the new app, which is really cool, is that the passenger will be able to, on their phone, watch their vehicle as it's approaching their house. So that gives them a greater sense of when that vehicle will be there. So that's a great addition.
Will there be opportunities to provide feedback about the service?
There's lots of opportunities to do that as well. Our 2020 number is where we try to guide people to the 2020 number, because that is where we can kind of keep account of all those comments, etc., and then we can make the managers accountable for responding to them.
And I'm wondering about Chuck's observation about the feeling every bump in a road. Maybe that's a statement about our roads and not about the quality of the vans. So another caller, this is Tanya. Hey, Tanya, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I have a question about, say, Uber and Lyft. I have a father who is 97 years old and 97% blind. He cannot drive himself, obviously. And where he lives, public transportation is not a viable option. My question has to do with any accommodation that Uber or Lyft might have for blind patrons. My dad could call if he could just punch one button, but when you call Uber, you punch one button, and then here's your menu, punch this button, punch that button, and he cannot do that. So I just wonder if they have any accommodations for blind people.
All right, that's a great question. And so let me see if Chase Bearden has an answer for that with the Coalition of Texans with Disabilities.
Yeah, I know that some of the different companies have been experimenting with some options like that, and that is something that they've looked at, is finding a group that will host that where they can take the call and help book the trip for them, as long as they know where to pick them up. So I think it's going to be watching to see what they offer in that area, and that is something we're going to try and work with TDLR to get a list of where all of, in the pilot and all the areas that they're using these new technologies, what is it that they're doing in that area, so that we can make sure people know that it's out there and that it can be used. But I would definitely suggest sending an email to Uber saying where you live and that that is something you need, and see what response you get back. I think as they start to hear from more people, I especially think with our older community at losing sight, having access to transportation, and also helps other family members know, because they can see on their app where that family member is. And when it comes to safety and just making sure someone's getting where they need to, we should all have that ability.
So Jane Passione with the Southwest Outreach for Older People, Swoop, you wanted to add more?
Yeah, at Swoop we've been using Uber Central since March. We got some funding to use a service where our organization books the trip for our senior and books it on the way back. So they don't actually have to book it on their phones. So we've been sort of beta using that, and it's been pretty successful. But it's only for, again, the disability community is huge. So it's really for a curb-to-curb, a person who can do a curb-to-curb service. So not someone like me in a wheelchair. It wouldn't work for that. But we've been
using Tanya's father.
Yeah, Tanya's father would be a perfect perfect for the program, Uber Central.
Melanie?
And Tanya, I'm going to encourage you to do a comment post on today's listing on the TPR website, because there are some other accommodations out there that I'd like to get back to you on, but I need to go and find them for you, because I know people who are blind who use the Uber app and use the services, so I'd like to get some more information to you. So if you want to make a comment on the TPR's website on the source today, we'll follow up with you.
Yeah, and if anyone listening is has used these resources and has some experience and some tips, we'd love to call in, share them with us. The number is 210-614-8980. And Ben is on the line. Ben, welcome to the source. You're on there.
Hi. I think VIA is pretty good. There's just a couple of bus drivers, especially on the 100 route. I mean, times I've used it, I've been the only wheelchair. And yet when the bell's rung, the driver looks around and I ask me, "So you want to get off? I'm down here." "Yes," he tells me. "You need to raise your hand from now on, or else you're not going to get on, or else next time I'm throwing you off and you're going to stay off."
Yow. Sorry about that. You had to experience that, Ben. So let's go over to Jeffrey Arndt, CEO of VIA Metropolitan Transit. Let's put you in a tough position there, but what can you tell
not
Ben?
Not at all. So I would say that Ben, if that happens to you, notify VIA at the 2020 number immediately, because that behavior is not reflective of what VIA expects out of an operator. So.
And you got cameras in those buses.
Yes, we do. Cameras that pick up audio and video.
So it's not my word versus his word. It's going to be like, let's go to the videotape.
Not anymore. That's right. Back in 1985 when I started, that was the dilemma. Today, you got a video.
Okay. So, but to that end, you know, I heard, you know, people saying call, send an email, reach out in regards to services that you think you're not getting. We do need to do that. We do need to communicate. Or if you don't sound off about concerns over maybe a not so nice driver or the services that you're not getting because Uber's not providing the proper follow through on certain things, if you don't send an email to your city council person or whatever, nothing's going to change. Melanie?
So Disability SA, we are engaging the community in conversations. We're encouraging them to participate in the forums that are going on in San Antonio. If you have a disability and you have a voice, you need to get involved. You need to get engaged. You need to share that And so please visit our website at disabilitysa.org and see what conversations are coming up around transportation or any other issues that are impacting people with disabilities. And whether you have a disability or not, engage in those conversations. Advocate for your neighbor. Advocate for your friends. Advocate for the people that you don't know, just because you're able to do things a little bit more easily than someone else. So raise your voice, get engaged, get active, and start communicating with our community.
Right, and make everyone know what your needs are. And, you know, there are people who are inconsiderate because they just don't know any better. Well, let's educate them. People will do better when they know better. So spread the word. We're going to take another break. The phone line's still open, 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about disability services in the transportation world here in San Antonio and across Texas. You know, I see more people using mobility scooters and things to get around, but I see that the sidewalks are not always up to the job. And when I drive home, I frequently see individuals who are in the streets and cars being getting awfully close to these individuals, and bad things happen all the time. So first I'm going to go to Chase, and then I'll go to Jane. But so Chase Bearden over at the Coalition of Texans with Disabilities, what do we know about improvement of these sidewalk facilities for people in mobility scooters?
I can tell you this is a statewide issue here in Austin. Even for me, we are about 10 blocks from the Capitol, and we spend a lot of time going back and forth. And we moved offices, and actually I have no accessible route besides to get in the street in multiple areas where there's still curbs. You'll have ramps on one end, but no ramp curb cut on the other, some that have gotten just so out of disrepair. And here in Austin, we are pushing to try and get more repairs done, more funding, and I think every city has kind of lagged behind in that area. And what they don't realize is that with the reduced amount of parking, as the cities change, the lack of transportation, the lack of accessible routes, is that that takes a toll on people safety-wise. It also puts pressure on you to be able to complete your daily needs and to go to work.
So, Chase, are people rude when you're in the street sometimes? Do they not realize you're doing the best you can?
You know, I think most of the time here they're fairly courteous, but I think it's more worried about someone texting and not seeing you than them being rude about it. You know, we have people that end up getting hit periodically, and that can be anyone, you know, any kind of pedestrian crossing the street in a busy street. But it shouldn't be safer to get in the street than to stay on the sidewalk.
So Jane Passione with Swoop, what are your observations?
It's a challenge out there. Even in the medical center, which you'd think just across the road from here, it would be easy to get off of a bus and down onto a street and across. It's really a challenge. COSA, City of San Antonio, has a 311 app. And I would say if you are out there wheeling in a road or there's no drop curb, you can bring up that app and you can it has a GPS coordinates thing on it. So you can sit there and click it and just pull up anything that will say a sign down or something, and you can go ahead and take pictures, and you can say, this is where we really need a drop curb right now, because there's so much need for these transitional drop curbs. But I'm not sure the city, you know, I'm sure they have a plan, but if you do this app, you'll be able to maybe expedite a little bit.
Melanie, is there anyone at the city who's their top job is to be an advocate for the disabled?
Yes. So the City of San Antonio has the Disability Access Office, and they are under the Roads and
TCI.
And they are huge advocates for the citizens of San Antonio with disabilities. And so we partner with them all the time on various projects and community events. We have a couple of community events coming up that engage people with disabilities and help connect them to the resources in the community. One of those is Accessibility Fest coming up this Saturday from 10 to 2 at Toyota Field, which is right across from Morgan's Wonderland. And then our next...
Well, tell me first a little bit more about that. What would people get out of going to Disability Fest?
Great. So this year we have over 124 exhibitors that have products, services, and opportunities for people with all types of disabilities, whether that's physical, cognitive, sensory, or mental health. They're out there to meet with you, to talk to you about their programs and services. It's a great way to come and connect with a variety of different programs in San Antonio. It's a great way to come and learn about what is going on in San Antonio. So we've heard several times about you may not have a disability today, but you could tomorrow. And just to come and get some general awareness about what is out there gives you that much of a head start. So one day when you or a friend or a family member might need something, you're like, you know what, I went to that thing that one time. It was a lot of fun. There were games and activities and face painting and the largest blanket fort in the world for Guinness Book of World Records. And we had a great time. But you know what, I learned about this group that's out there and they do this thing. And have you heard about them and how, you know, we can change lives that way. Just educate yourself about what's going on in the community.
So that's at Toyota Field on Saturday?
This Saturday, November 18th, Toyota Field, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Come out and learn, engage, and connect.
Okay, and we have a transportation and disability event on December the 5th.
At the Brick.
At Blue Star.
At Blue Star.
Okay, what's that all about?
It's an open forum conversation to come and talk about either your experiences or solutions, and we're going to bring the community together, whether you have a disability or not, whether you're an employer, whether you want more people to be transported to your facility or your retail store. And just come together and kind of like today, let's find some solutions, let's find some action items, let's see what we can do to help move our community forward. It would be a dream of ours to see San Antonio become the number one place where people with a disability want to come and live, work, and play. How can we make that happen together?
What a great resource we would have here.
Yes.
Absolutely. Let's get another caller in on the conversation before we run out of time. This is Mary. Hi, Mary. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm 71, and I've had two strokes, so they don't let me go out everywhere by myself anymore, and I don't walk very well. But I'm getting better, so I can walk a mile. But nobody comes outside 1604 to pick you up. It doesn't matter.
Okay, Mary, thank you for the call. So, Jeffrey, is that accurate?
Our service generally stops inside 1604, so from the perspective of ViaTrans, ViaTrans is probably not available to people that live outside 1604 generally.
Okay. The funding limitations that VIA has. Mm-hmm. You know, San Antonio's public transportation, VIA, is not funded at the same level like Houston or Dallas public transportation.
No.
We're not at that level. And there's a discussion about trying to change that or whatever, but it's not happening today, right?
So correct. The discussion is definitely happening today, and I think there's an increased awareness. The big difference is that San Antonio chose to collect a half-cent sales tax to support public transportation. Dallas and Houston and Austin all chose a full penny. And just to kind of put that in perspective, if you looked at the dollars that Houston or Dallas brought in over the last 20 years compared to San Antonio, they brought in about $5 billion with a B, $5 billion more than San Antonio to provide service. Our service area is about the same size as Houston. It's about twice or 2.5 times the size of the Dallas service area. And so we've really had to spread those resources.
And so how much of a funding impacts the decisions that you make in services that you provide?
I think funding really impacts our ability to increase levels of service, whether that is frequency of service or span of service. And so, as you know, City Council really took a great step with their budget this year and ongoing commitment to up to $10 million a year starting next year to help us expand frequency of service. And so that's the next step. But we are fundamentally running a half-cent system right now. And so we're at a point pretty much where to add in place A, we have to find a way to replace out of place B.
Chase Bearden with the Coalition of Texans with Disabilities. What's the number one thing on your wish list to try to get going in statewide?
I think it's just to continue bringing awareness that we need to do better on all our transportation, working towards the accessible placard issues of having too many of them out there and, really trying to make sure people are aware of how that affects all of us.
I don't know what you meant by that. Placards too many?
There's been a push over the last few legislative sessions to try and restructure how we do accessible parking, and looking at currently when you go in to get your placard, they give you two of them.
Oh, you mean the thing you hang on your rearview mirror thing?
Exactly. And usually it's for one family member, and the second one will end up floating around into another family member's car where they end up using them.
So it's like a bootleg system going on.
Pretty much. And you start seeing them everywhere, and you hear, you know, multiple people saying, well, I didn't realize that it actually made that big of a difference. But what they don't understand for many is how that affects someone putting their lift down and accessing getting out. For me, if I don't open my door all the way, there's no way I can get in and out of my vehicle. Kind of like what we talked about earlier, the safety issues. So this whole shotgun approach, there, it's not just one fix, silver bullet, as was said earlier. We really do need to have strong transportation from our bus systems to ride-hailing and whatever future areas we're moving into. And I think if we're not in that discussion and we're not sitting there at the beginning, then we'll kind of get left behind and we'll have to fight for services. So I think our goal is going to be to continue trying to stay ahead of the technology curve and make sure that we're all involved.
All right. And so Jane Passione with Swoop. Hopefully people are listening and are taking notice to respect the parking situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you don't need it, don't use it.
If you're an able-bodied individual,
right,
why are you taking that parking space? Really, are you going to save that much time by parking in that little spot? I mean, that spot, and taking it from somebody else? I mean, come on.
I drive up. This happens every day. It even happened down here in your parking lot. It's a limited.
I'm parked way over there, by the way.
It's not you. Okay. All right. So you're okay. You're safe. But I mean, you only have a limited number of spots, and maybe I'm old-fashioned. If it's got a picture of a wheelchair there, that's probably the people who need to be using it the most, because they're the most vulnerable in the parking lot.
Absolutely.
So if you don't need it, don't use it. Even if you've been issued it, if you don't need it, don't use it.
All right. We need some social sanctions for people that violate that thing. We need to take care of all of our friends and neighbors in every way that we can, prove that San Antonio is a city of compassion. Thanks to all of our guests this afternoon. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.